Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I've got a few minutes I'd like to share some word with you that kind of maybe capsulizes this whole thing that we've experienced this morning. I believe that the Lord has orchestrated how the service has gone. I believe our worship was awesome. We just appreciate our team so much for leading us into the presence of the Lord in such an awesome way. I do believe our prayer time this morning has been ordained of the Lord, because I believe we need to come to a place where our faith becomes a very active part of who we are and how we respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I don't just want to be a receiver of what God wants to do and the blessings that flow and all of that. I also want to be active in my faith and doing what God wants me to do and being what God wants me to be. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, and I realize it's late, but I don't care. I like it. I'm going to be reading from the 8th chapter, and this subject is far bigger, and this text is far bigger than I'm going to be able to share with you this morning. But I'll at least hopefully plant a couple of seeds in your heart that will help you develop your faith, grow your faith, whatever terminology you want to use to advancing your faith, because I believe God is a very powerful God, and I believe that He's very active in our lives. In fact, I think most of what God does is not even recognized by God's people who are receiving what God's doing. Sometimes we live our lives out in such routine that God's doing things all around us and in us and trying to teach us lessons and show us things and show Himself to us in different situations. And we so, with blinders, so to speak, go on in our routine that we fail to see what God's doing all around us and in us. And then when we find ourselves in a crisis or a situation where we really need to cry out to God, then we finally realize, well, God's been doing all this all along. Why wasn't I not aware of this? When, in fact, it was only because we've been getting too much of a routine in our faith and our walk with Christ. And I'm so appreciative of Life Options and others that we have had come to our church to share different views and opportunities for different kinds of ministry to give the church a feel that there are many, many ways in which you can increase your faith and be right in the middle of what God is wanting to do, even though sometimes we don't always recognize it. By faith, that even can be become clearer to us. So let me read a few scriptures in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, my favorite book in the Bible, beginning in verse 28. And I'll give you a quick background to this and then share a couple things and we'll close the service this morning. Then said Jesus unto them, who were responding to some other things He said, and I don't have time to get into all that yet, but Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that boldly and with complete and total clear conscience? And just say to the Lord, I do the things that please the Lord. Now, wouldn't that be awesome? But we know how we are, and so at least I know how I am, and sometimes I hesitate to say things like that because I wonder if I am pleasing Him sometimes. Verse 30, and as He spake these words, many believed on Him. I want you to pay close attention to that verse. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. And then Jesus said to those Jews, He focused in on the Jews which believed on Him. Now, just a little aside here. If I had people agreeing with me, and if I was Jesus, certainly I'm not, but I had people believing me, the last thing I want to do is say something to offend them. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I offend people all the time, but Jesus doesn't always do that. Then Jesus said to the Jews that believed on Him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm going to stop right there. I could read the... In fact, this whole thought and this whole process is actually from the latter part of the sixth chapter all through the seventh chapter and into the eighth chapter. Some of the events that took place during that time is Jesus fed the 5,000. And did other miracles. I would call it a miracle. The woman caught in adultery. He shows her no condemnation, but he shows her mercy and forgiveness and that kind of a thing. And then in the meantime, he's having this ongoing kind of conversation with people that are following him around. In fact, it's even during that time when he gets a little strong and he's preaching. Nobody likes to hear hellfire and brimstone anymore because we don't want to be judged. Am I correct? Who are you to judge me and tell me those things? Well, as a preacher, sometimes you have to say things and share concepts out of the scripture that sound a little judgmental. In fact, Jesus is very judgmental. And in this process, he's sharing some things. He's telling them that they're going to have to eat his body and drink his blood. Well, you know, by any common thinking, that's cannibalism, isn't it? What in the world are you talking about? And of course, if you're not a man of faith or a person of faith, and I don't want to share with you in a moment what faith really does and how it does that, but if you're not a person of faith and understand that he's talking symbolically, and every time you come to this church and have communion, you have done exactly what Jesus was talking about, but these people could not understand that. They were so carnal-minded, they couldn't understand that he was being symbolic and talking about the day that they would lift him up and he would be actually the sacrifice and all of that. And to follow their very own traditions, the idea of the Passover and the Passover meal and all of that stuff was involved in this. So he's talking with these Jewish people, and he's sharing some things. And all of a sudden, these people, when he started talking about eating my blood, drinking my blood, and eating my flesh, they said, these are strong statements. This is too offensive. This is too strong of a statement. And the Bible says that they stopped following Jesus. They left him and followed him no more. And that kind of disturbed me. And then as I read on and continued on, because what's stirring in my mind is this idea of faith. Because one of the things you need to understand about faith opens doors. Faith makes things possible. Faith changes things. I know we've heard the term prayer changes things. Well, prayer is a part of faith anyway. Prayer is communication of what faith you have in your heart. But here's the interesting thing about faith. Faith, when it is generated, you need to understand it is a choice. Faith is a choice. You choose to believe. It is part of your will. I choose to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, the interesting thing about that is God has designed this, and I don't know why he does it this way, because I would have done it differently, because I would have done it to suit me. But Jesus Christ does it to suit the Father. And so what he teaches us is that our faith, when applied to Jesus Christ and the offering, which of course God gives us through Jesus Christ for eternal life, when we put our faith in that, in him, something happens to us. Now, I know you have faith. The Bible says everybody's got faith to a certain degree. In fact, the stupidest example I'm going to give you happen to be very faithful right now. You are sitting on a seat that you have faith will hold you up. Now, for some of you, that may be a more difficult thing for the chair than others. But my point is, you actually exercise faith. You sat down, didn't even hesitate. You just plopped down there this morning and with the idea, well, everything is structurally fine. I sat in the same seat before. It didn't let me down. And that is actually a form of faith. But when you put your trust and your faith, I choose to believe everything about Jesus that the Bible talks about, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior, something very deep and spiritual takes place. The Holy Spirit begins to ignite your faith in the divine person of the Lord. And what happens then, you enter into an interesting experience. And this is part of what makes faith change things. You begin to believe that God is all that he says he is, but suddenly you begin to open up your spiritual eyes. Your eyes are opened. There are some things about God, some things about our relationship to God that you cannot understand. In fact, before you're a Christian, you cannot understand salvation. You don't know fully what it means. You don't know what it's all about. You don't know that God seeks you out. God sends his Holy Spirit to draw you. The Father draws you to Jesus Christ. You don't know any of that stuff. And you don't understand it all. Churches, if you've been raised in a church, you've gone to church, you've heard the story of the Nativity, you've heard the story of Easter, you've heard all the stories in the Old Testament about faith and men of faith who believed in God, and you had a concept and an idea, and your minimal amount of faith at that moment grasped what you could intellectually. And you knew the stories by what they said, the facts. But facts are not enough to walk with Jesus Christ. You have to walk with Jesus Christ with the purpose of trusting Him right on into eternity. And that trust in Him opens up your spiritual eyes to understand spiritual things. Until then, you're very limited on what you understand spiritually. But once you surrender to Jesus Christ, and this is the key, you can't blame people who do not know Jesus Christ for being the way they are. Or you, when you did not know Jesus, were. Amen? We were once lost, and we followed whatever our heart told us to do, and much of it did not please the Lord. But when He came into our lives and we were enlightened, as a beautiful term expresses what happens to us when the Lord opens up our spiritual eyes and our mind, and we begin to understand beyond the facts and understand the person of God and what His intentions are for us. And Jesus, of course, becomes more real, and we understand that He's God in the flesh. How's that possible for an infinite God to be in the flesh? A finite being. How's that possible? It's impossible. Only God could do that. But you can't believe that to any degree that would affect your life unless you have put your faith, you've chosen to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's then and only then that you begin to understand. Hello, every time you write something on Facebook to encourage those friends that follow you, that are friends of yours on Facebook, and you give them a word like you shared with us this morning, and it touches their heart, that's the Holy Spirit. He understands that. He knows the Lord is using him. When the Lord gives him a thought and he feels that, he knows that's the Lord. He doesn't know that by accident. He knows that because when he gave his heart to Christ, God began doing things in his life that made him realize that God is real. He's changed things. He's changed me. He's changed my circumstances. He's given me a job. I'm raising my child, and all of these things God has been doing for him. Those things were not available to him until his faith was applied. And so when God speaks to him and he puts a word on Facebook and it touches somebody else's life, encourages them or whatever, that is a full circle of your faith, because what you've done is trusted Christ for yourself, and you're sharing that with someone else so that they can trust Christ for themselves, so that their eyes can be opened. Faith changes things, but it changes because you choose to apply your faith in the area that really has the most effectiveness, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. And what he then begins to do in your life is build in your life the ability to see things that nobody else can see. Some of you here this morning can see things by faith that others don't even understand or can't even conceive. And then let's be real honest about it. The things that have been the most positive and growing in your life, or growth producing in your life, are the things that you've been able to see in the Lord in faith by trusting God. It hasn't happened yet. Faith is the substance of things that haven't happened yet. Hello? And so you begin to see those things and understand those and believe by faith that God is going to do this. And then when God brings it to pass, what does that do to your faith? It increases your faith. You begin to believe greater and bigger and stronger and more powerful in the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go out and run faster than a speeding bullet and jump high buildings. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is building a lifestyle, a life that is filled with faith, because you chose to do that. The reason a lot of people in a lot of churches that are stagnant in their faith and don't know, they can't believe beyond what happened to them 20 or 30 years ago, and don't realize God is still moving here today, currently with their life, the reason is because they never let their faith grow beyond their initial experience. Am I making sense? Come to know Jesus Christ, that's all. I'm saved, sanctified, on my way to heaven, that's all I need to know. Baloney, you will be probably the most dissatisfied Christian on the planet, because you need to be growing. You need to be growing in your faith and your trust and your confidence in Jesus Christ. And here's how we're built. We're built so that when we believe and experience Christ, we have the potential to soar with the eagles. We have the potential to do all things in Christ Jesus. Then why are we not doing all things in Christ Jesus? Because we become satisfied with where our faith has us. And so what God wants to do is shake you out of that. And so many times he challenges our lives. Sometimes a crisis comes into our lives. Sometimes a situation, as we prayed for this morning, that's why I do not think that this was not God. This was God. The things we pray, the circumstances we have no control over, all of that kind of thing. The way we control our destiny and our issues is to put our faith in Christ and let our faith grow to the point where we're far beyond that initial experience with Jesus Christ. And you see, here's the thing. There is so much more to be had in the Lord than what we possess. And you know why I can say that, qualify that statement? And I will qualify that statement. God is infinite, and it would take us beyond eternity to ever grasp or experience everything that God has available for us. We're limited at this point, and there'll be a day when we won't be limited. There'll be a day when this body's changed in a twinkling of an eye, and the corruptible will take on incorruptibility, and then we'll be really able to soar like the eagles. Then we'll be able to conceive who God is and that he's infinite and we can experience infinitely in the Lord. Now, this is all ahead of us and it's awesome and it's not Star Trek. It's real. But your crisis is also real. The things you face in life, whatever issues they may be, as some of them bring great pain to our hearts and great sorrow, and all of those situations that we face, sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes a great joy that comes to our life. But all too often it is a crisis that teaches us our deepest lessons in the Lord. God begins to build our faith in our deepest crisis. Because if you understand that what God allows into your life, he does so on the basis that he wants to use that to do greater things in your life. I just don't want you to get into that position where you're in such a routine in your Christian walk that, you know, you get up in the morning, you say your prayers, and you read your little bit of Bible, and you go face the day, and you do whatever your the day challenges, and you get up the next day, and you do this whole cycle thing. I think faith is beyond that. I think faith goes far beyond that. And I think God is really kind of tired of Christian people, myself included, just being satisfied where we are. I think God is always challenging our faith. I think God is always challenging us to go farther and be better than we've ever been before. I think what faith really does for us is begin to not only put us in touch with God, open our eyes and our minds, and also know that we have made that initial choice, but he wants to take us beyond our wildest dreams. God wants to take us beyond that. Think about this. Think about the day of Pentecost. When 120 people are in an upper room, okay? This 120 people are people that have been born again. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're followers of the Lord. They would not be there had they not been obedient. See, that's an interesting thing about faith. Faith is directly connected to obedience. Because if you believe something and the Lord has spoken to you, you must obey the Lord. And if you obey the Lord, he will bring it to pass. You follow what I'm saying? They're connected. But they're in the upper room. They're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do when he went to the Father's, back to the Father. And then suddenly, after a period of time, they're up there tarrying. And this is an amazing thing. This is an absolutely amazing thing. The Bible says they were in one place and in one accord. I'd like you to get 120 Christians in one place and one accord. I can see you getting 120 Christians in one place, but get us all in one accord. That's a far cry from what we normally experience. But they're in the upper room. And their faith is, and their obedience is, focused on Jesus Christ. And they're obeying him. If you read in John here, you'll discover that they believe a little bit. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Christ had not ascended to heaven there. But anyway, at the day of Pentecost, they're in one mind, one accord, and suddenly there came a sound as a rushing mighty wind. And then there appeared as cloven tongues of fire that descended upon them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized, saturated, soaked in the Holy Spirit. And then they were so moved and elated that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit That's why I always wonder why people have a problem with this, because it's the Spirit of God that gives the utterance. You know, I don't have a problem with it. I'll babble in tongues all day long if you want, but I often wonder why people can't understand this. The whole lead up of Jesus Christ was to turn it over to the Holy Spirit to be able to work from within us rather than always coming from without us or coming upon us. Now he dwells in us. Not through that, that's how Jesus communicates to us. The Holy Spirit in us. Now, what happened to me when I found Christ? The Holy Spirit came into me and he regenerated me. But then he saturated me and baptized me, and I got so excited I started babbling off in something I can't even understand. I remember Brother Watts, just a cool story. He was at a big camp meeting campaign when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Same thing that happened in the book of Acts. And he's speaking in tongues, and they were going home after the service, and I may have already shared this. I'm getting old. My mind is like a river now. I don't know what happened to it. But they pull up to a McDonald's or something, and we have the drive-up window. And his wife, Daphne, is sitting on the right hand, the passenger side, and he started to order hamburgers, and he just started speaking in tongues to him. And he calmed himself and tried to order a cheeseburger and fries. And they're looking at him like, what in the world's the matter with you? And he was telling the story, just rolling and laughing what he did, because the Spirit was still moving, and he was still responding to the saturating of the Holy Spirit. It's faith that delivers you to those places. It is your faith that opens the doors to that. It is your trust. And it doesn't have to be a lot of trust. It just has to be focused. I choose to believe. Let me tell you something about choosing to believe. Choosing to believe will overcome any circumstance and anything that is in opposition to your faith. I choose to believe. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have chosen, my family, we're serving the Lord. That's my choice. I put my faith in Christ, and I'm going to serve him. Am I going to be the best one at it? No, anybody here can tell you that I'm not the best at it. But I'm going to tell you what, I still choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what the enemy may throw at it. We have got to get our faith to the place where we challenge the enemy rather than be buffeted by the enemy. The enemy that would lie to us, our faith would take us to victory over his lie. Conquering him, being more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You know, when you're given those kinds of terms by the Lord, he's going on offense, not on defense. Your faith is an offensive weapon. You talk about a good offense, which we're going to need next week. And many of you have already started praying for him. I know. It's an offensive weapon. It's how we challenge life. It's how we challenge crises. It's how we challenge the enemy of our soul. It's how we challenge anything that comes against us in opposition. And not only that, after we've conquered or become more than conquerors of all of those things, we are also challenged with the responsibility to live a certain way. The way that pleases him. I want to live so that I please him. I want my faith to produce in me the great passion and desire, because I choose it, even before it's a reality, I choose it that I want to be pleasing to God. If I have my faith focused on that, and I don't allow anything to cause me to compromise with that, I will achieve that. Why? I know it's God's will that I do things that please him. Do you think God's working against me in this? No, God's working with me. So my faith in cooperation with the Father produces power, victory, confidence. All these things come into my life because I have faith, because I choose to have faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the part of our problem as Christians is that we've been duped into believing that you can't change people's hearts or minds unless you have enough intellectual firepower to be able to persuade them or debate them and win the debate. Now, let me tell you something. I can win the debate on any issue, gay marriage. I can win the debate without even talking about spiritual things, without even talking about Jesus Christ. I can still win the debate, because this is what's wrong with the debate about gay marriage. The thing that's wrong with it is that you are giving gay marriage special rights that are not called for in the Constitution. So whether it's a spiritual thing, it's a sin, or any of that is irrelevant. The fact is that they now have special rights. In some places, I can't even talk about how wrong gay marriage is and gay lifestyle is. I can't do it because it would be a civil offense. But the truth of the matter is, that's not the basis to approach them on. In fact, the argument with them is not even to argue with them about their lifestyle. The way to win and the way to touch people in that lifestyle is to show them that your faith in Jesus Christ changed your life and that He loved you so much that He sought you out and changed your life. That's the message of persuasion. And you can't win people by winning debates with them. You win people by living out your faith so that they can see by example who Jesus Christ really is, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and love them as Jesus loves them. That's how you change, and you don't change a movement. You can't change the gay movement or the abortion movement. You can't change it. It's already so much momentum that you can't change it, but you can change one life at a time. You can love them as Christ would love them and share Christ with them and try to affect them and influence them on a basis. And my contention is, if you win one, you've changed the movement. Follow me? So we as Christians need to get our act together. One of the things we need to get together is the fact that our faith changes things. You can fight us all you want to, but you'll never defeat us. History proves it. Christians have been persecuted throughout their existence. Since Christ birthed the church, since the day of Pentecost, we have been persecuted until now. Now, in America, where you never thought it would happen, now Christians are going to be persecuted and are being persecuted. There are restrictions now coming upon the church, and more will be coming as time gets closer to the end, and the church is going to be more and more restricted on how they can worship and the things they can say in worship. In Canada, you cannot speak against a gay lifestyle. You'll be thrown in jail for it. You'll lose all of your taxing privileges or exemption privileges. Those things are coming. But here's how you beat it. Know that Christ and you are conquerors. They can't defeat us. Don't you understand that? Even if they scattered this church and we could no longer meet here together, our faith is going to hold us together as people. Our faith is going to hold us together with Jesus Christ. They cannot defeat the army of God. Why? Because we have put faith in God, and when you put faith in God, God makes it a reality. So what's the big key to what God is doing? I think this year we're going to be given... In fact, I think we're on the verge this year of God giving us a kind of spiritual breakthrough that we've been looking for. Because let me give you an example, and I'm going to have to close because... we're going on. But let me give you the example, and that may take 30 minutes anyway. But I believe that there has been a spirit in this valley. And where the borderline is of spiritual territory, I don't know. And I want you to understand, I'm not some kind of spiritist, weak, wacko guy. But I do believe in the devil and his forces, and I do believe they're territorial. If you don't believe that, you need to read Daniel, because he talks about... he prayed the Lord, and it was 21 days. Am I talking too fast now? I always, when I want to hurry up, I always hear myself go into another gear here. But the answer didn't come, but when the angel came to talk to him, he said, hey, the Lord sent the answer to your prayer, but the prince of Persia resisted me. What he was talking about is the spirit of Persia that was territorially there that prevented the answer to getting to Daniel. There was an interference there, an opposition there. I believe there's a spirit in this valley. I think we've made various victories along the way. There's lots of great churches in this valley, and I think they've made some. They've staked claim for Jesus Christ, and they've done some awesome things. And just doing that and still surviving is an awesome thing. But I believe that there's a spiritual breakthrough coming. I am one who believes, and you may not be one that believes this way, but I'm one who believes that before Jesus Christ comes. I don't know that there's going to be a great revival throughout the earth and, half the earth comes to Christ. I don't know. I wish that would happen. I don't know about that prophetically or whatever. But what I do know is that I'm sensing in my spirit that God is wanting to bring a breakthrough in His people. That they will stop thinking of themselves as second-class citizens. That they will start walking in victory, walking in power, saturated by His Holy Spirit, and that we are going to have effectiveness in this lower valley for the kingdom of God. I believe we're on the verge of seeing God's Holy Spirit use people you never thought He would have used. And you're going to see people coming to the house of God and giving their hearts to Christ that you never thought would be there. Look at Chuck Kelly. I mean, Dave Goss couldn't believe his eyes when he walked in this church. There's Chuck Kelly, born again, going to church. Awesome, isn't it? You follow what I'm saying? And I really believe that we're on the verge of that. I can't believe that God is going to bring us to the edge of His soon return and not have a final opportunity for our loved ones to come into the house of God. You're going to see family members that you never thought would really kind of give their heart to God and just completely dedicate themselves and just follow the Lord with all of their heart and do marvelous exploits for the King. Those things are going to happen. So I want to encourage you by faith this morning. I choose to believe that God wants to move in a powerful way in your personal life. You may have loved ones that you need to see saved. You may have situations you need God to deliver you through or out of or whatever. I really believe that those are the beginnings of God's breakthrough year in 2014. I don't know about the blood moon thing. I think that's awesome. I think that we're going to see some pretty awesome things there. I don't know what they are. I read the book. Pete gave me the book, the four blood moon thing that Hagee wrote. And I read all the three. And I set the book down and I was madder than a hornet. I read all the history that was behind the different four blood moons and the total eclipse thing. And these are the signs in the heavens that the Bible talks about and all of that kind of stuff. And by the time I got to the end of the book and I read the end of the book, He didn't tell me nothing. Tell me what's going to happen. I want to know what in the world's going to happen. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He just knows something's going to happen. I think I'm in that same boat. I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe by faith we're at the place where God is going to break through spiritually and open our eyes brighter than they've ever been. Show us where He wants to go, what He wants us to do. Because if we have a heart after God, He will reveal to us all that He wants us to do and all that He wants us to be. And if we will combine our faith with obeying Him, we will not only please the Lord, but we will do great and mighty things, not for the world, but for the kingdom of God, for Jesus Christ. A guy by the name of Faraday one time said, it is how you deal with failure and opposition that determines your success. Think about that. It's how you deal with crises, problems, issues, stress, whatever, that really determines your success. And I think that is words of great wisdom. Because if anybody knows stress and opposition, Christians know it. You know it. You've been through it. Now God is saying to you, by faith, put your trust in Me. I will prove Myself to you. I will prove Myself. Can you receive that this morning? Can you receive that in your heart? That God is speaking right to you, saying, I will complete it. I will do that mighty work in your heart. If you can grasp that, if your eyes or faith's open enough, if you choose to put your faith in that, I guarantee God is going to accomplish it in your life. We can't lose. We've never been losers. Hello? Power. Power to the people. Let's stand, shall we? I remember when I, still a young Christian, didn't know half what I thought I knew. And the Jesus movement is sweeping through California and over into Nevada. And I don't know if I was part of that or not. I got saved at the same time that all was happening. But it wasn't down on the beaches of California or anything like that. But the Jesus movement was going on. And I saw things that I thought were, this is strange things. These are things that I don't comprehend or understand. But as my faith grew, I began to realize God loves using people who are not equipped, not knowledgeable, not professional, least likely to succeed in their class. That's the one God chooses. So if you feel like you fall into those kind of categories, I don't know how to preach, or I don't know how to speak, or I'm not qualified to do this, I disagree. Philip, down into Antioch, began to preach. Revival, or Samaria, and all those are. Revivals broke out. Right at the peak of the revival, man, souls are getting saved. Things are happening, man. God's doing miracles all over the place. I mean, you can't turn the corner and a miracle not hit you in the face, and all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. What evangelist? Let me ask you this. What evangelist would ever leave a revival at the very peak moment of that revival and go somewhere else? Philip is taken in the spirit, and he meets a guy out in the middle of a desert, riding along on his camel, and he hears him reading the book of Isaiah. Wants to know, is this Bible talking about, is this guy talking about himself or somebody else? And so he starts explaining the gospel to him. The guy believes, chooses to believe what this man, this guy walking in the desert, up to me, I'm riding a camel where there's nobody riding, and this guy come out of nowhere. But he chooses to believe. Let me tell you how that happens. That's not this man's persuasive ability. It's the same spirit that took him from revival and translated him out into the desert so they could meet this man. And oh, by the way, this guy just happened to be a eunuch in the house of Candace, a queen. Let me ask you something. Do you think God doesn't know where you're going and not know how to make you a part of his plan? He may want to translate you out of here this morning and take you to Alaska somewhere. Of course, I would rebuke that in the name of the Lord, of course, but think about it. Haven't you always wanted to just be used of the Lord? You've got to break out of this. You've got to break out of this box we're in. Expand our thinking, expand our faith, and do things that we never thought we would do and never thought we were equipped to do. And not all of it is out preaching the gospel. Some of it is just how you live on the job and how you share your faith on the job and how you walk uprightly and please him so that others can see that and want what you've got. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. This whole year, in our year of serving this year, and what better way to do that than, of course, ministering to other people. But in this year, we should be looking for that one special thing that God wants to use us to bring a breakthrough, either in our lives or someone else's life. Does that make sense to anybody? I want to be there. God, make me the man that can be right where you want him, even if it's in the middle of the desert and a guy coming by on a camel. I just want to be there to see great and mighty things happen. People of faith, activating their faith, generated by the Holy Ghost, and doing great things for the kingdom of God. Father, we love you this morning. We want to please you. We want to do all you would have us to do. We really do. And I know it's much more than just having a church and all gathering every week for all that. That's all great. But outside this church, our service, this year than we do service for each other and for the community and whatever, I want, oh God, for you to make a spiritual breakthrough out of it. And that our service will impact the community and impact each other, that we may glorify the kingdom and exalt the King, Jesus Christ our Lord. God, anoint us as never before. Let this year be a breakthrough year for us, for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen, amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.